Welcome to the Divided Kingdom Watchman Program for May 13th, 2021. Tonight, we are going to give you the listening schedules, but we are going to keep it pretty brief because we're just at such a beyond crucial point. The Divided Kingdom program airs at WWCR.com Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, also on shortwave 4.840 megahertz, repeating Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. at 7.490 megahertz. The program is also heard on KStarTalkRadio.com. That's KStarTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m., repeating Sundays at 10:30 a.m. You can also hear us on Global Star Radio. You can also hear us at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. And we're saying that we're at a beyond crucial point, and we must interject for your own safety and preparation. We are just putting this out, what we heard from Mike Adams, the health ranger at naturalnews.com, and that would have been on Wednesday, May the 12th. He thinks that we're getting closer to planned food shortages, that perhaps, again, that grocery store chain will break down. We know what has happened with the hacking of the Colonial Pipeline, and he mentioned that two of the key refineries, one being Port Arthur, is not doing any processing because of this associated pipeline fiasco. So if this is the deep state trying to undermine everything, please, please take whatever money you can and go to the grocery stores while you can and stock up on some canned meat, canned vegetables, whatever you think that the Lord is leading you to do. You do not want to be a victim. You do not want to be taken into the FEMA camps eventually, where, as Mike says jokingly, but it's a macabre joke, where you may be taken over to, what's that gadget? And there's the guillotine, and behind it are the heads. You really don't want to be at such a point. You want to be able to be independent with your family as long as you can and have the food and hide it. So when we're at this crucial point, a point at which we are finding our own individual lives and families threatened as never before, just please pray about warning your family, your friends, and church members, telling them to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and some of the other good websites like NaturalNews.com. We've heard that LifeSite News has been taken off YouTube. I believe it was YouTube, wasn't it, Lou?
I believe that's the one, yeah.
And it was presenting a lot of hard-hitting news and with a sort of an emphasis to Roman Catholic viewers, listeners, readers, whatever. So, of course, it wouldn't be on the side of the global reset. So while you can, please support these ministries and websites that are trying to keep your freedom. And if you would like to help us, we will need some help for both Global Star Communication and for WWCR very soon. So you can send a money order. You can send a check only made out to WWCR. We cannot take personal checks. You could send a little cash to Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. The P.O. Box, again, is 28. The town is Bethlehem to the important, important emergency program. Yes, this is another emergency program. Flashing red lights. It's called The Gates of Death Open, Part 1. Spike Protein Population Killing Plan. Next week will be Part 2. That will be The Gates of Death Open, Surrounded Everywhere, Barbed Wire That Binds. And now Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, welcome you to this Watchman program. And Lou will be kicking off the emergency program with an article that is of major, profound, deep significance. Lou.
The COVID-19 extinction level event, Monday, May 3rd, 2021, by the news editors, naturalnews.com, who comment, what the world is experiencing in 2021 and going forward is a man-made extinction level event. via an ongoing series of bioterrorist acts perpetrated by a genocidal conspiracy of state actors, corporate entities, NGOs, secret societies, and terrorist organizations such as NATO, also known as North Atlantic Terrorist Organization. That comment precedes this reprint of the article republished from stateofthenation.co. What these COVID pandemic perpetrators have set in motion is an irreversible extinction-level event, or an ELE, that will eventually wend its way throughout the entire planetary civilization. Because of the countless vectors of dissemination of the COVID-19 bioweapon, as well as the numerous methods of COVID propagation, controlling this wholly manufactured pandemic is a function of shutting down military-grade bioweapon labs. Similarly, the various means of proliferation of this coronavirus within national health care systems the world over must be stopped post-haste in order to halt this rapidly unfolding ELE. Now that the dangerous and deadly COVID-19 vaccines have gained widespread use, the swiftly evolving worldwide regime defined by the COVID super vaccination agenda will contribute markedly to the ELE.
And Lou, I must interject here in the middle of this important article that one of our most informed, astute listeners told us this, that on Thursday, April 29th, 21, that we had, quote, a great program, wow, highly unusual, especially liked and disliked the examples of folks who should have known better, were told better, but took the vax anyhow and paid the price. And on and on. And this warning is for those of you who must still be warned because you have ears to hear. Finish that sentence you were on there, Lou, or pick it up again.
Yes. Because of the RNA and DNA altering aspects of the COVID injections, these vaccinations, in quotes, cannot be undone. Consequently, those vaccinated individuals will either succumb to the ELE, and remember that stands for extinction level event, or become severely incapacitated to the point of becoming a great burden to their caretakers. Key elements of the ELE. There are five major elements to this meticulously engineered ELE.
And tell us again what that stands for.
ELE is short for extinction level event. And these are the five. Release of the COVID-19 bioweapon and frequently bioengineered variants. 2. Launch of biological and chemical weapons via systematic spraying of chemical aerosols. Next, military deployment of 5G and 4G energy weapons. 4. Administration of annual flu vaccine programs as hybrid bioweapons. And the 5th one, injection of bioengineered COVID-19 vaccines as stealth bioweapons. Each of these components of the fastidiously planned ELE has been painstakingly put into place over decades so that they could be activated as a coordinated genocidal program in 2020 and beyond. As follows, coronavirus COVID-19 5G 60 gigahertz millimeter wave chemtrail disseminated smart dust and vaccine delivered digitized RNA mutually intensifying quaternary weapons deliberately launched and coordinated to shut down a targeted city or nation, commit genocide, depopulate and or trigger an ELE. And the source of that is quaternary weapon system activated before each coronavirus cluster explosion. The last to be deployed and most important bioweapon in their arsenal is the COVID-19 vaccine. Because its efficacy to both cause death and or serious debilitation, the various COVID injections are the integral element in this ELE plot, which is why there is such an overwhelming global push to vaccinate every person on the planet.
And to continue it, in view of how highly experimental the vastly different vaccines truly are, it's clear that each is being beta tested in different countries and within different bloodlines. Because the efficaciousness of each COVID injection to either kill or injure is a function of the other four components of this quaternary weapon system, it's quite likely that the ELE perpetrators are gauging its lethality within different configurations of the QWS. Likewise, the DARPA, Big Pharma, bioengineers are constantly reformulating each subsequent generation of the deadly vaccines in order to continually raise the mortality rates. Moreover, they are quite desperately pushing out an increasing number of boosters in the same year, which is completely unheard of with vaccines that are being administered under emergency authorization use only in the USA. COVID syndrome and 5G. Given this much more complex weapon system, which is operational to varying degrees throughout the world, COVID syndrome will manifest differently in each nation and locale. For example, the COVID-19 bioweapon that was released in Wuhan, China, is different than those launched in Milan, Tehran, and New York City. What each of these major metro areas had in common was an intensive rollout of 5G in 2019. This is why the coronavirus clusters in each of those four cities exploded with such a spontaneous mushrooming of COVID outbreaks literally overnight. They were triggered by the extremely powerful 5G energy grid. The 5G EMF signal ranges and microwave transmissions that were activated have never been experienced by humanity. There have been many telltale signs that are dead giveaways about the close coordination between the military deployment of 5G just before the first major COVID-19 outbreaks around the world. For example, Wuhan was established as China's first 5G demonstration zone in 2019. See, Wuhan City was expected to have 10,000 5G base stations operating by the end of 2019. Another major clue concerns the highly suspicious work being conducted at Harvard University. The activation of 5G energy grids amps up the manifestation and severity of COVID symptoms considerably, which is why Harvard's Charles M. Lieber holds the U.S. patent for using 5G radiation to vibrate coronavirus particles from preset nanotubule containers. The chair of the chemistry department was arrested and indicted in June of 2020. Chemtrail syndrome. When chemtrail syndrome is added to the mix, it ought to be easy to understand how the human immune system will be eventually overwhelmed. Just how many assaults can the human body take before it starts to break down, particularly for the elderly and those with serious comorbidities? See chemtrail syndrome, a global pandemic of epic proportions. This is exactly why so many folks over 70 passed after the various COVID bioterrorist attacks in the big cities. Those with multiple medical ailments and chronic health conditions affecting the respiratory system also fell prey to the incapacitating cytokine storms that are only exacerbated by constantly inhaling the toxins and contaminants found in chemtrail aerosols. The spike proteins bioengineered into COVID vaccines only add to this devastating onslaught to their immune systems. The spraying of chemtrail aerosols over major cities has been secretly going on for decades, so many folks are already dealing with substantially compromised health. When they flipped the switch on 5G and then fired the COVID-19 bioweapons using different modalities of delivery, the chemtrail toxins became much more hazardous to health. The aerosolized and chemically mobile aluminum oxide is particularly toxic to the brain when permitted to pass through the blood-brain barrier. Never in the history of America, of American healthcare, has there been such an invasive and painful nasal swab test performed en masse. Now it has come to light that this exceedingly dangerous procedure was carried out with highly purposeful design to profoundly undermine the upper respiratory health and blood-brain barrier of as many people as possible. Now, the annual flu vaccination programs, of course, Big Pharma in the United States has ensured that Americans are also highly vaccinated, both children and adult populations. This catastrophic predicament has created a highly conducive environment for other weapons within the QWS to have maximum detrimental effect on the human bioorganism. Every time an individual receives their annual flu vaccine, the toxic shots negatively impact their body's natural immune response, which then makes them much more vulnerable to the whole host of pathogenic microorganism exposures that exist particularly in the dirty, crowded cities. Hence, there is now a direct correlation between COVID infection rates and annual flu vaccination rates in metro areas such as Milan, New York City, and Wuhan.
The grim reality is that the various COVID jabs are being delivered at such an alarming speed to national populations around the globe because those driving this super vaccination agenda know that the more time that elapses, the greater the number and severity of adverse side effects will be reported. This unavoidable situation will only discourage folks everywhere from being jabbed with these extremely hazardous COVID injections. The CDC, WHO, NIH, and FDA have already been appraised of a tremendous number of completely unacceptable deaths and injuries directly attributed to COVID injections, but they remain criminally silent on the matter. And this is Lou speaking. The truth is leaking out as more injuries and deaths are tallied from the COVID vaccines. Next, we have bombshell. Pfizer's own documents admit COVID vaccines will shed infectious particles to others. This was dated Monday, May 3rd by Ethan Huff, Natural News. The latest, quote, conspiracy theorist, unquote, to come forward and warn about particulate shedding from those who were recently, quote, unquote, vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus is none other than Pfizer itself. The pharma giant's own documents openly admit that people who were recently jabbed for the Chinese virus can transmit whatever is contained in the syringe to others, including through skin contact. The Pfizer document warns, quote, an occupational exposure occurs when a person receives unplanned direct contact with the vaccine test subject, which may or may not lead to the occurrence of an adverse event. These people may include health care providers, family members, and other people who are around the trial participant, unquote. In other words, there is something contained in the injections that cause the injected to become super spreaders. Pfizer does not indicate what this is. However, it does warn that the culprits are people who were recently injected. Such transmission might occur from a simple handshake or a hug. It will almost certainly happen during sexual activity, which means that those who are wanting to avoid contacting whatever poison is inside these things should be sure that their partner did not receive an injection. The document goes on to reveal that vaccinated women who are pregnant could suffer spontaneous abortions and other reproductive problems, and unvaccinated people who come into contact with them could as well. Vaccinated mothers can also pass whatever is contained in the Pfizer injection to their babies through tainted breast milk as well. Pfizer further admits that vaccinated men can transmit viral components to women at the time of conception, meaning both women and their unborn babies could become infected with the poisons through outside contact. A pregnant woman who is unvaccinated could also pick up the viral components from her doctor or another family member who is vaccinated. According to Pfizer, this can occur, quote, by inhalation or skin contact, unquote. Oh, but the vaccines are not actually shedding, the media and the establishment claim. This is just a wild, quote, conspiracy theory, unquote, we are being told. Why, then, is Pfizer warning quietly in its informational materials that being in close proximity to a vaccinated person could cause health problems? Asked TAPS Newswire, quote, if this vax is not shedding into other people, why would contact between vaccinated and unvaccinated be an event worth noting, unquote. Pfizer wants clinical trial participants who believe they might have been exposed environmentally to chemical shedding from someone who was jabbed for the Wuhan coronavirus to report the incident via the company's vaccine SAE report form and EDP supplement form. Pfizer is doing this because outside exposure to vaccine components could kill a pregnant mother's baby. The company does not plan to log any injuries or deaths from such exposure within its study, however, because it considers such information irrelevant to the study participants themselves.
Very significant, Lou. And
yes.
Now we move on to this headline. COVIDVaccineReactions.com documents injuries and reactions caused by COVID vaccines. This was Natural News, May 7th, Ethan Huff. There is a mass genocide taking place, but you would never know about it simply from reading or listening to the, quote, news. The official story is that everyone getting injected for the Wuhan coronavirus is doing just fine, even though the reality is that people everywhere are getting sick or dying from the jabs at astounding rates. To ensure that people have access to the truth, a website called COVID-19 Vaccine Reactions, I'll repeat that, a website called COVID-19 Vaccine Reactions was set up to track adverse events as they occur. The site aggregates what does occasionally get reported in the news, along with firsthand stories about people who suffered after getting one of the shots. We are talking now about this website, the COVIDVaccineReactions.com website. One of the latest headlines there is from the New York Post, documenting a 42-year-old cybersecurity expert who died after getting injected. Below that is a Twitter thread from writer Alex Berenson about the mainstream media's endless Chinese virus propaganda. And then, a little later on the site, I think we have something pretty interesting that says below are screenshots taken directly from Pfizer's mRNA vaccine trial documentation, admitting that Wuhan flu shots do, in fact, shed onto other people, including the unvaccinated. And that refers right back to what you said, Lou.
Yes.
Section 8.3.51 of that document explains that humans can inhale spike proteins as well as pick them up from others via skin contact. This means that those who get injected for the Wuhan coronavirus are potentially spreading DNA-modifying poisons to every person with whom they come into contact. Further down on the page from this past week is a photo of an empty parking lot with a few white tents, along with the caption, "First weekend vaccines are available to the general public in Colorado." Apparently, very few people in Colorado want to get injected for Chinese germs. Other noteworthy items right on the front page of COVIDVaccineReactions.com as of this writing include a story about a man who veered off the road and crashed while driving due to seizures he suffered suddenly after getting injected. Then there is another tweet by Alex Berenson about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, which the Vaccine Death Cult is now trying to claim as, quote, untrustworthy, because it is showing high numbers of vaccine-induced injuries and deaths. And let me see if we have a little more. Yes, another thing worth noting is the latest news about how mRNA injections can cause people to develop herpes, nothing like some sexually transmitted diseases to go along with that, quote, immunity, eh? And, Lou, you know, we talked about, we had not thought about this. I think Mike Adams brought this out. The term herd immunity just shows how the elite look at us as I believe Henry Kissinger was the one who remarked about sending the dumb farm animals off to war in all those endless Middle East wars.
That's
so
right.
The elite looks at us, you see, as animals.
Cattle.
Yes, cattle, not human beings created in the image of God Almighty, which is what we really are. Now, the article from Ethan Huff at Natural News concludes with, be sure to browse all the news available at COVIDVaccineReactions.com and tell your friends and family about it. The more people learn the truth about these deadly jabs, the less likely we all are to be tyrannized by vaccine, quote, passports and other flavors of medical fascism.
Now, here are some of the latest cases of COVID jabs casualties. Australian man dies of a massive blood clot following coronavirus vaccination. This was the Natural News, Thursday, May 6, 2021, by Raymond Tomey. A healthy 55-year-old man from New South Wales, Australia, died 8 days after getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Tamworth resident Darren Misson passed away on April 21st due to what medical staff described as a, quote, massive, unquote, blood clot in his lungs. It is unclear what brand of vaccine he received during his April 13th vaccination appointment. Speaking to the Northern Daily Leader, Misson's family said he was, quote, fit and healthy, unquote, around the time he got the COVID-19 shot. However, his health soon deteriorated. A report by the Australian said Misson collapsed while running errands. The 55-year-old was rushed to Tamworth Hospital, where he eventually died. A family member told the Northern Daily Leader that he, quote, wasn't pointing the finger, unquote, at the vaccine. More cases of adverse reactions following AstraZeneca inoculation have been reported in Australia. Aside from Misson, another man from New South Wales suffered the same fate after getting vaccinated. The 71-year-old Sydney resident passed away after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine. Men were not the only ones to suffer from adverse reactions. Janine Norris from the New South Wales Central Coast died on April 14th, 6 days after she got inoculated with the AstraZeneca vaccine. The 48-year-old, who was also diabetic, developed blood clots a day after getting vaccinated on April 8th. She was subsequently hooked to a dialysis machine in an intensive care unit until her passing. An investigation by the TGA's Vaccine Safety Investigation Group, VSIG, found that her case of thrombosis, quote, was likely linked, unquote, to the AstraZeneca vaccine. A total of 5 other cases of blood clots in Australia were linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine, which was developed in partnership with the University of Oxford. A woman from Western Australia and a man from Melbourne, both in their 40s, also suffered from blood clots after getting injected. Both are still in hospital but have shown signs of recovery. Meanwhile, 3 Australians from different parts of the country developed blood clots between 9 and 26 days post-vaccination. A 35-year-old woman from New South Wales, a 49-year-old man from Queensland, and an 80-year-old from Victoria State were all hospitalized after receiving coronavirus vaccines. The TGA commented on the latter cases on April 23rd. Quote, the VSIG concluded that all 3 cases were likely linked to vaccination. All 3 patients are clinically stable, have responded well to treatment, and are recovering, unquote. The TGA announced the preliminary results of its investigation into Norris's death on the same day that the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunization, ATAGI, and the federal government of Australia announced that it no longer recommended the AstraZeneca vaccine for individuals under 50. It would instead prefer it if health authorities gave the vaccine developed by Pfizer-BioNTech for that demographic. Around 885,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine have been administered since the Australian mass vaccination campaign began. The TGA said that the 3 known blood clotting cases give the country a rate of 1 in 290,000 jabs that could potentially result in these life-threatening complications. Symptoms of the clotting complications include severe headaches, blurred vision, pain, leg swelling, shortness of breath, and bruising of a part of the body away from the injection site. Health authorities in Australia have advised anyone experiencing any of these symptoms after getting vaccinated to seek medical attention immediately. Despite the dangers of getting vaccinated, the state government of New South Wales is not going to stop vaccinating its residents. When pressed for comment, the state's Ministry of Health, NSW Health, said it did not discuss individual cases. And continuing, we have another headline. One Indian hospital saw 100 patients die after taking the corona vaccine. Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. This was by Ethan Huff at Natural News. As many as 100 patients reportedly died at Marend, Amend, Dabad Civil Hospital in India after taking their first or second dose of a quote-unquote vaccine for the Wuhan coronavirus. Just at this one hospital alone, these 100 patients suffered adverse events so serious that they passed not long after being injected, which once again proves the dangers of the shots. Gujarat, the most popular Gujarati language daily newspaper in Sandesh, was the first to report on the situation. No other mainstream media outlet dares touch the story. Around the same time that these 100 patient deaths were reported, it was also leaked that at least three doctors who had taken two doses of the vaccine died within a month or two. This was confirmed by Chandrish Zardosh, the former president of the Gujarat branch of the Indian Medical Association, the IMI. I should say the IMA. Zardosh wants to know how people who received two doses of the vaccine, especially, ended up dying from the alleged virus when they should have already developed immunity. Assuming the jabs actually produce immunity, of course. He is quoted as saying, immunity can be considered as a factor after the first dose, unquote. He also wants to know how long and why it took for each now dead person to die after receiving the injections. To receive the shots and die 2 months later would suggest that the injections do not provide any immunity at all. According to the latest data, at least 3,362 people have died from Chinese virus injections in America alone. This is an average of 30 people dying daily from the jabs. In India, there is no such mechanism in place to track Wuhan flu shot deaths, so nobody knows for sure how many people are dropping dead after receiving the injections. Recently, more than 100 dead bodies were seen floating down the banks of the river Ganga in the Indian state of Bihar. These deaths are being blamed on the Chinese virus, though it is more likely that they died from the injections. A top modeling agency in the United Kingdom is predicting that the third wave of the Chinese virus will end up hospitalizing and killing upwards of 70% of people who took both vaccine doses. This again shows that the jabs are killing people at a rapid rate. Wrote one Great Game India commenter, quote, the pharmacies, that is lawyers, may have weaseled out of responsibility of liability, but the ones who helped fund it are still on the hook. And he was commenting about the eventual fallout from all this sickness and death being caused by vaccines. He went on to say, quote, this is global genocide and all who participate, especially doctors who have taken the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, need to have their licenses revoked, starting with Fauci, unquote. Anyone who believes that Fauci, Bill and Melinda Gates, and other demonic eugenicists have their best interests at heart are fooling themselves and living in denial, other commenters point out. One wrote, quote, these compliant globalist parasites are ruining themselves and humanity. The tainted blood in these people was spread through blood banks, and as the story above shows, kill some en masse, unquote. Sadly, this is only just the beginning. Messenger RNA, mRNA, vaccines, and that word vaccines there is in quotes, are here to stay, it seems. And soon there will be many more injections based on the technology that will reprogram people's DNA and turn them into non-human chimeras, just like the current ones for the coronavirus, or the Wuhan coronavirus, are doing.
And Lou, that article was very pungent, and it's so important that we realize that there can even be something worse happen to those doctors who were part of it and who were filled with hubris. And here is one case. This is Tuesday, May 11th. Remember, that's Judgment Day 11, by Lance D. Johnson at naturalnews.com. Doctor mocks vaccine skeptics, then dies after COVID vaccine as media scrubs wrongful death case. A 48-year-old Ohio doctor unexpectedly died on April 27, 2021. There was no official story on the cause of his death, only a satirical obituary that was written in the first person. The news of his death made waves around the world. Various media outlets from MSN to Fox News praised his self-written obituary, an extraordinary life as a doctor. The news of his passing was featured in news outlets ranging from Australia to the United Kingdom. Dr. Thomas Flanagan was a loving husband and father. He was also a middle-aged plastic surgeon who often used satire to communicate his views on medical topics. He was very public about his views on vaccines and even used Facebook to mock vaccine skeptics. Dr. marketed for Moderna and mocked vaccine skeptics just weeks before suddenly passing away. On January 6th, he got his first dose of Moderna's experimental vaccine. He got on Facebook to advertise for Moderna, posing for the camera shot. "I did it for the free orange juice. I'm pretty sure the needle was like a foot long. The good news is that I didn't feel the microchip going in, but I can hear local radio stations now," he stated. On February 3rd, Flanagan got back on Facebook to mock vaccine skeptics again. "Second dose. The microchip is working just fine. My mind is slowly being taken over by the hive mind. We are just fine. Resistance is futile." The news agencies praised Flanagan's first-person tongue-in-cheek obituary, but failed to mention his medical backstory, how he received the experimental COVID shots just 11 weeks prior. According to all the media reports, the cause of death is not clear. However, no autopsy or investigation was launched into the cause of his sudden young passing. Why did the 48-year-old doctor write his own obituary after taking the experimental vaccine protocol in the first place? Someone who dies suddenly usually doesn't have their obituary written out in first person with great attention to detail. Did he write it as satire and yet another attempt to mock vaccine skeptics who warn about death after vaccination? Did he write the obituary in jest to ease his own fears and further mock anti-vaxxers? Was he secretly concerned that he might actually pass away after taking the experimental jabs? Did he sincerely write this detailed obituary in his final hours of life, knowing that he was going to suddenly pass away at the young age of 48? Was he hiding a medical condition from his family and had already prepared for his own passing? Was he hiding serious health issues after he got the experimental jabs? After all, how could he talk openly about any adverse events from the vaccines if he was so pridefully adamant about mocking vaccine skeptics? Media changes their story in an attempt to cover up the cause of doctor's death. Even more strange, why are headlines celebrating his death? His obituary is lauded in the media as hilarious and incredible, with no sensitivity toward the circumstances surrounding his sudden and suspicious death. No media outlets mentioned that his most recent social media posts mocked vaccine skeptics and praised Moderna's experimental COVID shots. In yet another twist of strange fate, all the media outlets that originally praised Flanagan for his hilarious, quote, hilarious self-written obituary are now retracting their story and claiming, quote, friends wrote the first-person obituary. This mysterious group of friends somehow used the same tongue-in-cheek humor that Dr. Flanagan used in his Facebook posts when he mocked vaccine skeptics. If a group of friends really did come up with this obituary during a time of sudden grief, then they are essentially laughing at their friend's death while burying the fact that he got the Moderna shots, virtue signaled while he got them, and mocked others who didn't. This cover story shows signs of being yet another wrongful death vaccine injury case that is being covered up by the pharma media.
Study. Pfizer vaccine causes catastrophic damage to every system of your body. This is from Natural News, Monday, May 10th, by Ethan Huff. An Israeli organization made up of health experts has published a report outlining how the Wuhan coronavirus injection from Pfizer causes damage to nearly every system in the human body. The Israeli People Committee, IPC, says that Pfizer's Chinese virus jab is causing catastrophic damage to people's bodies, so much, in fact, that there are more people dying from it in Israel than there are people in all of Europe who are dying from the AstraZeneca jab. According to IPC, quote, there has never been a vaccine that has harmed as many people, unquote, as the Pfizer vaccine has. The group published a full report detailing its eye-opening findings. One part of the report explains, quote, we received 288 death reports in proximity to vaccination, 90% up to 10 days after the vaccination. 64% of those were men. German scientists recently discovered the two-step process by which AstraZeneca injections cause blood clots in recipients. There is a series of events that must first take place inside the body before the blood clots form. Still, AstraZeneca's injection is reportedly causing far fewer deaths than Pfizer's. And yet, neither Israel nor the United States has hit the pause button on its administration. Not only that, but the Johnson & Johnson jab, which causes deadly blood clots just like AstraZeneca's jab, is now being actively recommended by the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, for use in American patients, albeit with a tiny safety warning on the package. And this is in quotes. According to Central Bureau of Statistics data, during January-February 2021, at the peak of the Israeli mass vaccination campaign, there was a 22% increase in overall mortality in Israel compared with the previous year, unquote. The Israeli report further explains about what is happening over there. In fact, January-February 2021 have been the deadliest months in the last decade. This is also a quote. With the highest overall mortality rates compared to corresponding months in the last 10 years, unquote. The most dramatic increases in death are occurring among Israelis between the ages of 20 and 29. This group has seen an overall increase in mortality of 32% ever since the Pfizer vaccine was introduced. And here we have another quote. According to this estimate, it is possible to estimate the number of deaths in Israel in proximity of the vaccine, as of today, at about 1,000 to 1,100 people, unquote.
And the next one we have is, again, some of these aftershocks that are really horrific. Healthcare workers report suffering full-body convulsions after COVID-19 vaccines. And this comes from LifeSite News. Remember, that was taken off the social platform. This is May 11th, 2021. I had no idea what was going on, but then when the convulsions started, I knew it had to be from the vaccine, Angelia Gibson DeSalle said. I was a normal 45-year-old healthy person. I never in a million years thought I would be like this today. And this article was written by Raymond Wolf. Three healthcare workers are speaking out about debilitating health problems they experienced shortly after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine earlier this year. In an interview with Dell Bigtree on the High Wire, the three women, all previously pro-vaccine, detailed their struggles with tremors, memory loss, and full-body convulsions since their coronavirus shots. They said that the issues, which they attribute to the vaccines, have left them unable to work or care for themselves. Quote, I just had mild flu-like symptoms. Soon after taking the first dose of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine in January, Sean Skelton, an Indiana nursing home worker, said, adding that she was, quote, very pressured by her employer to get the shot. Quote, by the end of the day, my legs hurt so bad, my body hurt so bad I couldn't stand it. The next day I woke up, my tongue was spasming, and it just went on from there, she said. I was in full-body convulsions and stayed that way for 13 days. Oh, Lou, did you hear that?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. Skelton continued, videos of Skelton's condition posted online went viral before being flagged by social media platforms. Oh, no wonder they want to get rid of LifeSite News. They're telling us the truth, how evil this is. Back to the article, Angelia Gibson DeSalle, or Gibson Gasell, who manages a surgery center in Louisiana, reported similar issues. DeSalle said that she received her COVID-19 shot in part because she wanted to avoid exposing her parents to the virus, though no coronavirus vaccine has been proven to stop viral transmission. Quote, within 2 hours, I started having a severe headache that I knew was one of the side effects, so I didn't think that much of it, she said. Thursday morning, I woke up and I felt really dizzy, almost passed out. The following night, I got out of the bed and I couldn't feel or use my left leg, DeSalle said. And then, Saturday morning, I got up and I could not use either of my legs, and it eventually was followed by full body convulsions. About 2 hours later, my husband took me to the ER, and from there I was transported over to the hospital, she added. I have literally been shuffled from doctor to doctor, and here I am today, still having the same issues, DeSalle said. I had no idea what was going on, but then when the convulsions started, I knew it had to be from the vaccine, she said. I was a normal 45-year-old healthy person, didn't take any routine meds on a daily basis. I never in a million years thought I would be like this today. There was one day where I had 16 back-to-back convulsions. Christy Simons, now this is a new case, Christy Simons, or Simmons, a clinical manager for a home health agency, also told the High Wire. Days after vaccination, quote, every muscle in my body would tense up and just continuously spasm. I would feel like I couldn't breathe, like I couldn't catch my breath. Simmons said that she took the shot earlier this year to promote the vaccine to her clinicians. 2 days later, I was in the ER with throat and mouth swelling, she said. After returning from work the next week, Simmons' limbs reportedly, quote, pulled up into a fetal position and just started convulsing. And I was actually flown out by helicopter to a hospital for treatment, Simmons added. I was there, I think, 1 or 2 days. I can't really remember. I had a lot of memory loss during that time. I've had 6 ER visits, she noted. Now all 3 of us sit here today with no job, no income, Skelton said. Our medical bills are stacking up, and we still have no answers and no help. We can't function. Probably about 2 months out of the last 3, I was being bathed by my family. I was being fed by my family. I was being dressed by my family, Simmons said. I would go to the bathroom, and my sister or my husband would have to come and lift me off and on the toilet. I haven't driven my car since January the 8th. I have my father with me as my caregiver. I couldn't travel alone. We can't function, DeSalle explained. I'm afraid to go out in public because of a convulsion. We weren't sit-at-home people before developing convulsions, she said. And now I stare at my 4 walls every day at my house. I have to interject here, Lou Caverly, that the people who are committing these abominations and setting this into play will pay a price far higher than these women with the terrible convulsions and the terrible numbness and the lack of feeling in their bodies. There'll be a terrible price at the end of their lives when they have to face the Almighty. I know that it is true that there is a God and that Jesus watches over his own. I have told on this program how I guess it was my great-grandmother, what happened at the time of her death. My great-aunt Sophia was sitting in a chair rocking a baby that was left motherless. Her sister, Aunt Sophia's sister, had died after childbirth sometime. So this is not a dream because Aunt Sophia was rocking the baby and singing to it. And the latch lifted on the old staircase in the old home by itself, and a white being came down the stairs. And as Aunt Sophia told me in the 1970s, because I asked her, was this true? After my mother told me about it, I was just fascinated to find out. And it unnerved her, even now, late in her life, a very old lady. She said, yes, that's how it happened. And that this figure was shining and dressed in white and said, I've come for your mother. And when they went upstairs, my great-grandmother was dying. Now, you can explain that. Someone can say it's not true. But that's been passed down in my family. So, you know, if there are people like Bill Gates, like others, who could repent, who could still repent, it would be well for their souls if they could change everything. We hear that there are divorce proceedings between Melinda and Bill Gates. We hope that some souls will turn back to the Christian religion. They won't wear the upside-down crosses anymore. That we've heard or we've seen a picture of Melinda wearing. we pray that some other globalists will get the fear of God literally into them, that they will return to where they should have been all along, because it's a horrible thing for any human being to face the flames of hell. So we're back now to these women, these hapless women, these victims of evil, unimaginable evil. The women said that they have formed an organization that includes at least 37 members, 90% of them women, who have experienced similar health issues after taking one of the three COVID-19 vaccines authorized for emergency use in the United States. So we could go on there. We've talked again, Lewis talked about VAERS tracking more than 4,000 reports of these deaths that are probably connected to the vaccines. I think we must move on now and get to another case. I think I have a case here. Do you have another case of a person, Lou?
Let me check for you.
Mine
are more general.
All right, I think I will go to this, and you'll hold yours, because we'll have to be talking more about this spread next week, but there's a lot more with the barbed wire. You won't want to miss the program next week. So now, here's this next case from Great Game India, and it also needs some support. It's telling people, because it's really telling the truth, like LifeSite News. 17-year-old healthy American basketball player develops 3 blood clots in his brain after COVID vaccine May 10th. The day after his COVID-19 vaccine shot, 17-year-old Everest Romney felt his neck swelling. In the coming days, he suffered from severe headaches. His mother, who tells ABC4, the pediatrician initially dismissed the symptoms as a pulled neck muscle, says she was convinced it was something else. He could not move his neck without the assistance of his hands, says mother Sherry Romney. That was just a few days after the shot. Now her son suffered from fevers and incessant headaches. Romney says she knew she needed to keep advocating to doctors that something wasn't right. Finally, more than a week after the symptoms, the Corner Canyon High School basketball player and his family had answers. 2 blood clots inside his brain and 1 on the outside. The hardest thing was I let him get that shot, and he was healthy and well before, says Romney. But you question it. You can't help but question it when it all goes wrong, she added. Going forward, she says she wants parents to make the best decisions for their children and for doctors to understand this new vaccine might bring new challenges to conventional wisdom. German scientists have found the exact 2-step process how the COVID-19 vaccine causes blood clots in recipients. They describe a series of events that has to happen in the body before the vaccines create these large clots. For extensively exposing the blood clots controversy, Great Game India is being actively targeted by the NATO propaganda arm, Atlantic Council, which operates the web of fact-checkers. Recently, a so-called independent fact-checker website, factcheck.org, was exposed to be funded by the same $1.9 billion vaccine lobby group that it is supposed to check. The site is a Facebook partner whose articles are used to censor critical voices on the social media platform. And we will read the appeal that Great Game India has made. We need your support to carry on our independent and investigative research-based journalism on the deep state threats facing humanity. Your contribution, however small, helps us keep afloat. Kindly consider supporting Great Game India. We have to also look at something else from Great Game India that says 30 Americans die every day after taking COVID-19 vaccine, according to official data. And one of the few elected politicians in the country who said a word about any of this, who's asked any questions, is Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Recently, Johnson asked Francis Collins, the director of the NIH, why so many Americans seem to be dying after the shot. Collins responded that if the population focused too much on the harm from vaccines, people might be hesitant to get them. Those 3 women that are into constant convulsions and now are pretty much taken care of almost bedfast by their families. Yes, I guess we're not to think about that, are we, Lou?
No, we're not supposed to be questioning the government.
Oh, no, we just accept everything. So Ron Johnson said, I challenged his use of the term vaccine hesitancy. He stated this in a Fox interview. That's about Francis Collins at the NIH, that wonderful place that does all the things with those trafficked, aborted baby organs after the abortions occur. Oh, God, help us. I told him that based on the VAERS deaths and my conversations with people who've chosen not to get vaccinated, a better description would be people are hesitant, people who are hesitant to be coerced into participating in the largest drug trial in history. And we have warnings that scientists are warning that mRNA vaccines developed by Pfizer and Moderna are causing blood clots. And again, this was Natural News, May 7th. So we have these warnings, and it was out of a study from the University of Oxford, and fewer people developed these blood clots, they found, compared to the ones from getting the AstraZeneca. Only 4 in 1 million people developed blood clots in the brain after getting the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Well, 5 in 1 million developed blood clots after being inoculated with the AstraZeneca vaccine. And now, of course, these warnings in the Oxford paper were completely ignored as U.S. health authorities went ahead with the rollout of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. On April 13th, FDA Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research Director Dr. Peter Marks told reporters that there were no reported cases of blood clots and low platelet counts among people who received the two mRNA vaccines. But we remember some actual experiences. Remember Dr. Gregory Michaels, who died 2 weeks after getting vaccinated? He had gotten the Pfizer vaccine, and he was a doctor, and he went to Mount Sinai, and they did everything, but they found he had a quick onset of thrombocytopenia with almost zero blood platelets. And they thought they'd save his life by removing his spleen, but before he could do that, because of all this post-vaccine effect, he had a hemorrhagic stroke before he could even be saved. The CDC investigated Dr. Michael's death and concluded that the obstetrician died of natural cause. We're in a time that is very, very evil, but God Almighty is still watching over. Jesus sent an angel to come for my great-grandmother. Are you going to be under the side of Jesus Christ, our living, risen Savior? Are you going to repent of your sins, no matter what your level is? We had 5 intimidating helicopters go right in front of Lou's eyes today as he went out for the mail. That's supposed to scare us. I'm more frightened if I disobey my Heavenly Father, aren't you? Go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. God bless you. Good night.